All right, so are you ready for some like serious palace intrigue? Today we're going to unpack 1 Samuel chapters 21 through 23.
Oh, yeah.
The story of David like on the run from King Saul.
Lots of drama.
Yeah, we've got jealousy, we've got prophecy, narrow escapes, and some tough questions about loyalty and what it means to be like, chosen by God.
It's one of those stories that even like thousands of years later just
Yep.
resonates. You know, it taps into all those like universal themes, ambition,
Yeah.
fear, and how we respond when the people in charge start to like lose their way.
Yeah. Like exactly. It's not just a historical account, right? We're talking about understanding human nature, especially when like the stakes are really high.
Oh, yeah.
So, to kick things off, let's talk about David's flight from Saul.
Okay.
This guy, I mean, he just killed Goliath.
Right.
He's a national hero, and now he's forced to flee for his life.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
What's fascinating to me how this whole episode shows us that even heroes get scared. You know, the guy who was so brave against this giant is now, I mean, he's reduced to desperate measures. And remember, he even ends up in Gath, Goliath's hometown, seeking refuge with the Philistines. It's almost unbelievable that he would like take that kind of risk.
Right. You think he'd stay as far away from anything Philistine as possible?
Right.
But I guess it just shows you how desperate he was feeling, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the way that he like pretends to be mad, in front of King Achish.
Yeah.
Let's just say his acting skills could use some work.
Yeah, his acting skills leave a little something to be desired. I mean, this whole episode with Achish really like exposes David's flaws. It reminds us that he's not some like flawless, larger than life figure, you know. He's human.
Yeah.
He makes mistakes, he panics, and he relies on some trickery to survive. And those imperfections, I think that's what makes him so relatable, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. For sure. It makes his eventual rise to kingship even more compelling because it wasn't like this perfect path of heroism. Right. He had to like navigate some pretty like morally murky waters.
Yeah.
Right. To get there.
Yeah, it was complicated.
But while David is running and hiding, Saul seems to be like, I don't know, descending into madness
Yeah.
back at his palace.
Losing it a little
I
bit.
mean, what is driving him to these extremes?
Yeah.
Is it just jealousy or is there something deeper there?
Well, jealousy's definitely there. I don't think it's just that, though. I mean, his paranoia is so intense. He's like seeing enemies everywhere,
Yeah.
even among his own like advisors.
Wow.
You know, he totally believes Doeg the Edomite's accusations.
Yeah.
And that leads to this horrific massacre of the priests at Nob.
Yeah, I mean, talk about an overreaction. He wipes out, what, 85 priests?
Yeah.
An entire town just based on one guy's word? I
Right.
mean, that's a chilling reminder of how power, when you combine that with paranoia, it can just totally twist even like the most righteous intentions.
Yeah. And it's ironic. You know, think about it. He disobeys God's command to
Yeah.
totally destroy the Amalekites.
Right.
And now here he is committing genocide against his own people, the people that were entrusted with serving God. Like what? I mean, his sense of justice is completely, totally warped.
Yeah, he's completely lost the plot.
Yeah, he's off the rails.
So you've got, on the one hand, David, this flawed but ultimately good-hearted, young man, relying on his wits, his faith to survive.
Right.
But on the other hand, you've got Saul, a king consumed by suspicion and rage, wreaking havoc on his own kingdom. It's a stark contrast.
Absolutely.
It really highlights the dangers of unchecked power, doesn't it?
It does. And that contrast becomes even more clear when you look at how they respond to threats against Israel.
Okay.
Saul's obsessed with hunting down David.
Yeah, right.
David actually steps up and saves the town of Keilah from the Philistines.
Right. Talk about leadership. Even on the run, he's still thinking about the welfare of his people.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if he already understands what it means to be king, even before he officially takes on that role.
Right. He's really showing the qualities of a true leader: courage, compassion, willingness to like put himself on the line for others.
Yeah.
And we can't forget about the role of divine guidance in all of this.
Yeah.
You know, even with his mistakes,
Yeah.
David is still seeking God's will
Okay.
through the ephod, now in the hands of Abiathar.
Can you explain what the ephod is? For people who might not be familiar, it seems like a pretty important element here.
Yeah, definitely. So the ephod was a sacred garment worn by the high priest. It had the Urim and Thummim in it, and they would use that to determine God's will. So think of it kind of like a direct line to divine guidance.
Oh, wow. So David essentially has this hotline to God. helping him make decisions in these like incredibly tough spots. It's no wonder he manages to stay one step ahead of Saul.
Yeah. And the timing of some of these events, I mean, it's too perfect to be just coincidence.
Right.
Take, for instance, the Philistine raid that forces Saul to break off his pursuit of David.
Right.
I mean, you got to see the hand of providence at work there, protecting David from being captured. But it's not just divine intervention. He's also benefiting from, you know, some very human loyalty.
Yes.
But most notably from Jonathan, Saul's son.
Yeah. Jonathan's visit to David in the desert of Ziph, that's a really powerful moment. It shows you how deep their friendship is.
Yeah.
And Jonathan's faith, unwavering faith in David's destiny, even though it means, you know, his own family will be displaced. His statement, I will be second to you. Heartwarming, but incredibly sad. When you consider what happens to Saul and Jonathan.
It's heartbreaking. Jonathan knows his father's on this self-destructive path.
Yeah.
But he can't do anything to stop it. And yet he remains completely loyal to David. I mean, it really raises some questions about loyalty. You know, loyalty to family, loyalty to friends, to a higher purpose. Where do you draw the line when those loyalties are in conflict?
It's a question we all struggle with. Who do we stand by? And at what cost? And how do we navigate those like really complicated situations where doing the right thing feels almost impossible or even dangerous?
Yeah. And it's a theme that just runs through this whole story.
Yeah.
You see it in David's decision to spare Saul's life in the cave, in Jonathan's unwavering support, and even in the Ziphites' betrayal. You know, where they choose self-preservation over loyalty to the guy who just saved their town.
Yeah, speaking of the Ziphites, let's talk about their betrayal. So here's David. He saved their town from Philistines, and they turn around and rat him out to Saul.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Are they just cowards, or is there more to it?
Well, I think fear is definitely playing a role.
Okay.
I mean, Saul is powerful. He's unpredictable. They're probably terrified of what he'll do to them if they don't cooperate.
Okay.
But I think it also shows, like, kind of pragmatism, maybe even a lack of faith.
Yeah.
They're willing to sacrifice David just to appease the king, even though David's been a far more effective leader, you know, in protecting them.
So they're choosing what they think is the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. Could be.
Siding with a tyrant over a potential future king. Well, that's kind of a bleak outlook, isn't it?
It is. And it speaks to, I think, how power corrupts. Yeah. When people in charge demand blind obedience, it creates this culture of fear.
Right.
Where people are too afraid to speak up or do what they know is right.
Yeah.
You know, the Ziphites' betrayal, it shows us how easily that can happen, even in a society that's supposed to be, like, guided by faith.
That's it's a pretty chilling thought. It makes you wonder how often we choose comfort and security over doing the right thing because we're just afraid of the consequences. It's a challenge to all of us to stand up for what we believe in, even when it's hard, even when it feels like we're all alone. But let's not forget, David, despite all this, never loses hope. He keeps seeking God's guidance. He protects his people, and he refuses to take revenge on Saul, even when he has the chance. That says a lot about him, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. He represents a different kind of leadership.
Yeah.
One that's based in faith and compassion and a deep respect for God's authority.
Mm.
And it's a style of leadership that I think people still, you know, find inspiring today, you know, all these centuries later.
It makes
us want to act with courage and integrity, even when we face huge challenges.
Well said. That brings us to another interesting aspect of all of this. Protecting David from Saul.
Yeah.
Almost as if God is using their actions, their raids, their invasions to kind of orchestrate events in David's favor. What do you make of that?
Well, it's an amazing example of how God can use even the unexpected, you know, even people who oppose him.
Yeah.
The Philistines, they're acting in their own self-interest, trying to expand their territory, weaken Israel.
Uh-huh.
But God uses their actions to, like, redirect Saul. Give David a chance to escape. I mean, it just reminds you, we often can't see the full picture. What looks like a setback or a disaster might actually be part of a much bigger plan.
I love that. It's like God's playing this cosmic chess game, you know, using the enemy's own moves to his advantage. It's a really powerful image. And it encourages us to trust in God's timing, even when things seem really chaotic.
Right. And it reminds us that God's ways are not always our ways.
Right.
He can work through anybody and anything to do what he wants to do.
Okay, so we've talked about David's flight, Saul's descent into madness, Jonathan's loyalty, the unexpected role of the Philistines. But I want to circle back to something you said earlier about David's imperfections. It's clear he's not some, like, you know, flawless hero.
Right.
He makes mistakes. He experiences fear. He has doubts. So how does that affect how we understand his journey, especially considering he's going to be king?
That's a great question. And it leads us to a deeper look at, you know, what it means to be chosen by God. So welcome back. We were talking about, you know, David and some of his not so perfect moments.
Right. How those flaws like play into his whole journey. It's easy to think of like biblical heroes, you know, as these like perfect people.
Yeah.
But David's story, it kind of challenges that, doesn't it? I mean, he's clearly favored by God, destined for great things, but he also struggles with fear. He makes questionable choices, even resorts to like trickery sometimes. How do we reconcile those things?
I think that's exactly what makes this story so interesting and relatable. He's not some untouchable mythical figure.
Right.
He's a real person dealing with real emotions, real limitations. He screws up.
Yeah.
He learns from his mistakes.
Right.
And he just keeps going, you know, relying on his faith. It reminds us that God doesn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to be faithful.
I like that. It's about the journey, not the destination.
Right.
And speaking of journeys, David's journey is just full of these narrow escapes, like often orchestrated by divine interventions.
Right.
Like God's always in the background, pulling strings, protecting him from Saul. But isn't there a danger in like attributing every lucky break to divine intervention?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that diminish David's own like agency, his own resourcefulness?
Oh, for sure. I think it's important to remember that David, you know, he's courageous. He thinks strategically. He adapts to difficult situations.
Yeah.
He's not just sitting back waiting for God to save him.
Right.
Right. He's actively seeking guidance through the ephod. He's making decisions about where to go. And he even uses his skills as a warrior to protect himself and others.
Yeah.
So it's not either or.
Okay.
It's both. It's divine providence and human agency working together.
Yeah.
You know, God provides the opportunities. But David has to seize them and, you know, make the most of them.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not about sitting back and waiting for a miracle. It's about being active in God's plan, trusting that he's guiding you, even when you can't see the way.
Right.
And this brings us to what I think is one of the biggest, like, turning points in the whole story.
Okay.
David sparing Saul's life in the cave.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Here's Saul, hunting him down like an animal. And David has a chance, right, to just end it, eliminate the threat. But he doesn't. He cuts off a piece of Saul's robe to prove he could have.
Right.
But he chooses to let him live. Why?
I think that scene, I mean, it just gets to the core of who David is and how he understands God. He knows that Saul, even with all his flaws, all the crazy stuff, he's still the king, chosen by God. To kill Saul would be like going against God.
Yeah.
Like taking matters into his own hands. David, even in this incredibly tense and dangerous moment, he shows restraint. He trusts that God will deal with Saul and bring justice, you know, in his own time.
It's a huge display of faith, obedience, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you consider David is a warrior, a man of action. He could have easily justified killing Saul in self-defense, but he chose a different way, a way that shows his deep respect for God's power.
It's a path that, in the end, leads to his vindication. By not taking revenge, he shows he's not driven by, you know, just wanting power for himself. He's willing to wait, trusting that God will make him king at the right time.
That's a powerful lesson. Patience. Trusting in God's plan, even when you don't get it.
Yeah.
It also, you know, it makes you wonder about leadership. Is it really about having all the power?
Right.
Or is it about, like, surrendering to something bigger?
That's a question that we're still asking, right?
Yeah.
We often think of leadership as being in control.
Yeah.
Being dominant. But David's story shows us that real leadership, true leadership, is about humility. Knowing that your authority, it comes from God.
It's about, like, serving a purpose bigger than yourself.
Exactly.
Trusting that God will give you what you need to do the job.
That's right.
It's not something you hear a lot these days. Ambition and self-promotion, that seems to be, like, the main thing driving leadership now.
Yeah.
But David's story, you know, with all the ups and downs, it shows us a different way, a way of humility, courage, and faith.
Yeah. And makes us look for those things in our own leaders.
Right.
Humility, integrity, a willingness to put others first, and, you know, respect for a higher power.
It's a high standard.
Yeah.
But I think it's a standard worth aiming for, both in our own lives and in the people we choose to follow. We've been focusing a lot on David. But I don't want to forget about Saul.
Right.
He's not just a bad guy, the opposite of David. He's a complicated person.
Yeah.
A tragic figure who, in the end, is destroyed by his own, you know, inner demons. what can we learn from Saul's downfall, especially, you know, for those of us who maybe have some power or influence?
I think Saul's story is like a warning about what happens when you have ambition without limits and how power can corrupt you. He starts out humble, obedient. God chose him to lead. But over time, pride takes over, jealousy, paranoia. He loses sight of why he's there, and he makes choices that destroy him and cause a lot of suffering for everyone around it.
It's like something out of Shakespeare, right? The tragic fall of a leader. It reminds us that power without humility, without a moral compass, can be really dangerous.
Right. And it shows how important it is to have people around you who will, you know, challenge you, hold you accountable, and remind you of what's important when you start to stray. Saul isolates himself, pushes away anyone who questions him, and he loses touch with reality. It's a reminder that even the best leaders, even those chosen by God, can fall victim to their weaknesses.
So what do we take away from this? Just be careful of people in power. Or is there something more, you know, personal for those of us who aren't kings or queens?
I think it reminds us that we all have the potential for good and bad inside us.
Yeah.
We all face temptations. Mm-hmm. We all make mistakes. And we can all lose sight of what really matters. Saul's story, it challenges us to look at ourselves honestly, face our weaknesses, and cultivate humility, integrity, and a reliance on God.
That's a really powerful message, and it hits home. It's so easy to get caught up in wanting success, power, recognition, that we forget what's really important, our relationships, our values, our faith. David's story, with all its twists and turns, it shows us a different path, a path of humility, courage, and faith.
And it reminds us that even when we mess up, even when we fall short, God's grace is still there. He can take our failures and use him for good. He can lead us back to the path he has for us.
That's a hopeful message, and we all need to hear it, especially when things are tough. But there's still so much to talk about with David. We got to talk about that fight with Goliath. I mean, that's a symbol of the giant we all face.
Right.
The power of believing when you're afraid, and ultimately what it means to live a life that's worthy of what God wants from us.
And we're going to get into all of that and more in the last part of our deep dive. So stick around.
Huh. Okay. So welcome back to our deep dive into David. You know, running from King Saul, we've talked about a lot, David's close call, Saul's, you know, downfall. But I want to go back to one of the, I think, most famous moments, you know, David and Goliath.
Oh, yeah. Classic showdown. It's not just an exciting story, though. It's a powerful symbol for the struggles we all face. Goliath, think of him as, you know, those giants we all have in our own lives. The fears, the obstacles, the stuff that seems impossible, the things that make you feel, you know, small.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Goliath. We've been talking about how David's not perfect.
Right.
His fear, his doubts. But here he is, this young shepherd, facing this giant warrior, like, no problem. Where'd he get that courage? Was it just like youthful bravado, or was it something more?
I think for David, it came from his faith. Remember what he says before the fight? The Lord who rescued me from the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine.
Right.
David knew God had protected him before.
Right.
And that gave him the confidence to face this huge challenge.
So it wasn't just like being reckless. It was courage that came from experience, knowing God was with him, even when things looked really bad. That's a powerful idea, don't you think? You don't have to be fearless to overcome challenges. You just need to trust that God is there.
Yeah, exactly. And that trust, it gives you strength, strength that's bigger than yourself. David didn't beat Goliath with, like, muscles or military training.
Right.
He relied on his faith, his skill as a shepherd.
And a few well-aimed stones. God can use the things that make us unique, even the things that seem small, to do incredible things.
That's encouraging. You don't have to have it all figured out or have superpowers to make a difference.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to take a step,
you know?
Trust that God is leading and use what you have as best you can.
That's it. And I think that's what we learned from David's whole journey. He wasn't a perfect hero from the start. He was a shepherd, a musician, a guy who messed up, struggled with fear, just like us. But through everything he went through, the good and the bad, his faith, he became the leader he was meant to be.
It makes you think, you know, our journeys, they're shaping us, getting us ready for something more. Like David, we might face impossible things. But if we have faith, we ask for guidance, we keep going, we can get through it and do what God wants us to do. And just like David learned from his mistakes, so can we. Each challenge, each time we fail, it's a chance to grow, to make our faith stronger, and find a strength inside us we didn't even know we had.
So as we wrap up, what's the one thing you hope people listening will take away from all this? What's the message that really sticks with you?
I think the big takeaway from David's story is that God can use anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, your flaws, your past. He can use you to do amazing things.
Yeah.
David's life shows how powerful faith can be, the importance of trusting God's timing, and what we can achieve when we let him lead us.
That's a great way to put it. It's a message of hope, of power, of what's possible when we line up our lives with what God wants. I think that's a good place to stop. So, to everyone listening, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you've been challenged, encouraged, and maybe even inspired to face your own giants with courage and faith. Until next time, keep searching, keep exploring, and keep trusting the one who guides our steps.